We do things the best when we just wing the whole show.
Yeah.
No show notes, no guide, no nothing. No official clock. Just whatever.
That's how I got through the rest of my life. It seemed to work out decently.
Okay. Not good.
Not decent.
Fair. Can confirm. Greetings
about
and tight.
6 out of 10.
Really? You'd say 6 out of 10?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. That seems a little high for you, but I'll take it.
Well, the way I figure it is, I'm not homeless. I have food. I make rent.
No babies.
No babies. I still have never been arrested.
You've never been arrested?
No.
Oh my gosh, talk about white privilege. Dodging bullets over here.
Well, you know what they say.
Better lucky than good. Oh, okay. Better lucky than good.
Yeah.
Welcome to this episode of Two Trolls and a Brew. We're going to call it episode 141. I'm just going to call it 141. There is actually another 141 that we did earlier that, as I explained to Travis, apparently I forgot to get posted as an actual podcast, so I apologize for that. Maybe this one will make it, is the title of this week's show. And I suppose we're going to call it the same subtitle as the last show, Burn, because I didn't put anything else in here.
Yeah.
All right, we get some people filling in the chat. Look, Havoc MTG says, one man raiding this chat. Well, welcome to the stream, my friend. Hope you enjoy yourself. This week's troll cards, Armageddon for Travis, and what's the three mana Sarkon?
Sarkon the M19.
Sarkon the M19. Perfect. Sarkon the M19. That's my troll card for this week. Travis, tell us about Armageddon and why you're doing that, why you're eating your banana. I just want to put you eating your banana on camera more.
All right, so the reason I chose Armageddon was because, so I have this Nykvit list in Legacy, and do you know what Nykvit is?
No, I've never heard of Nykvit.
All right, so essentially it's Abzan colors, and the original list used Academy Rector to get like Omniscience or like there's two other enchantments. One that basically gave the cursed player gave their creatures 1/1. Basically, it was a one-sided humility.
Okay.
And then there's also a Knights of Death's Hold or whatever, which basically said that all creatures get -1/-1.
Okay.
So you make all the opponent's creatures 1/1s with no abilities, and then give all creatures -1/-1, and that was basically the list, and it ran green for Veteran Explorer, and then like Cabal Therapies, Innocent Blood, blah blah blah, all that stuff. So basically, you ramp out. So I've been running the deck with Arena Rectors and Planeswalkers instead.
Okay. And what are you ramping into besides just Planeswalkers? Like, is there a particular Planeswalker in Legacy that you're playing?
My deck runs one Elspeth, one Sorin Grim Nemesis, and two of each of the Kaias. And so it's not really ramp. It's more of an attrition game. And then Elspeth and Sorin are the two big hitters, but I won more games with the Kaias than I have the two biggins. But basically what I do is, like, I took out all the green because, you know, there's the chance that I ramp them as well. And I just made it black white. So I just have it chock full of removal and like you know, creature removal and hand disruption. And then on top of that, I threw in Armageddon's. And then yesterday, so Sunday when we were playing, I had Sorin, Grim Nemesis, and Kaya, the 4-mana one. Not the one in Standard, but the one from Conspiracy.
Okay.
So I had those two in play, and I ticked up Sorin, and I got Armageddon. And my opponent, he just looked at me, and he's like, "What?" And I was like, "Well, I guess I'm going to make you discard a card with the Kaya Ghost Assassin, and I'll draw a card, and then I'll blow up all the lands."
Yeah, and no lands for anybody sucks.
Yeah, and he's just like, "But," I was like, "Oh, no, don't worry. Here, I'll play the land that I had in hand, then I'll play Innocent Blood so you don't have any offense either. Good luck against these two Planeswalkers."
Man, and that then, sounds ridiculous.
And then every card that he drew, I made him discard with the Ghost Assassin. And then basically I just I overwhelmed him with the Sorin Ultimate, where I think I made like 17 vampires.
Did you say which Sorin?
Grim Nemesis.
The 6-mana one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the one that gives you creatures based on your life total.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So you couldn't see me at all while you were talking?
Oh, no, I saw you. Just putting on different hats and everything.
Oh, I thought that was great. I sat over here and I was like pulling up. Like, I have a bunch of hats sitting right over here that I don't wear very often. And sometimes I wear them a lot. And I just thought, you know what? If every time I'll just lock it on Travis, I can change my hats during the story. That'd be great.
Yeah, I was watching that and I'm just like, no, nope, don't react to this.
Don't react to this.
Don't react.
Just like sex. Don't react.
Yeah, so that was a...
Yeah, no one expects the Armageddon from nowhere.
Especially like, since, like, the deck that I run, it has three of them mainboard.
Have you been thinking about doing anything with that Fall of Thran in Standard?
Nope.
So, I have seen a couple of lists come from people where they're using that as, like, a pseudo... Armageddon. It costs like a zillion.
Mm-hmm.
But then they, I don't know if they bounce it or if they just destroy it with something. But they usually also have the big green enchantment getting ready to proc off. So like it's ready to do its thing. They play the Fall of Thran. All the lands go away. Then they bounce the Fall of Thran, let their opponent go. And then it goes, it procs up, and they get all their lands back.
Yeah.
It seems like an incredibly complicated way to win in Standard, but I said I have seen a couple people do that. I just didn't know. Like, you are the king of these bad ideas.
It's so true.
If you didn't think about it, then...
Well, I've thought about it, but I just don't play Standard.
Well, they also use... First of all, you should play Standard. Second of all, they also use what's the artifact that lets you play lands from your graveyard?
Crucible of Worlds.
Crucible of Worlds. Thank you. Also, they play Crucible of Worlds, so they have a couple of ways to like take advantage of the all your lands being in your graveyard. But I don't know. I like where Standard's at right now, sort of.
Well, I just never get the chance to play because...
it's on the wrong day of the week for you.
Yeah. And Sunday's really the only day that I get to play. And that's Legacy. And I've also figured out, you know, I have my two decks. And Standard, I always just jump around. So if anything, if I want to play, I'll just go online.
Yeah.
And I don't plan on going to Arena because although I love the interface, it is still very much grind to get stuff. And I just don't have the time for that.
Yeah, we'll get into this in a little bit. But yeah, I've not been playing as much Arena lately as I probably should. But I don't like Modo's interface so much that I just don't play online Magic very much anymore. There was, for a long time, I was grinding my gold out. I was doing my thing. I had either just hit platinum in draft. I feel like I had just hit platinum in draft. Like, I had a couple of, like, on the weekends for a month was doing pretty good. And then I would, like, crater out on sometime late Saturday while I was trying to play D&D and do my drafts. And then it would take me the week to, like, earn enough gold again to be able to draft again. But I don't know. I'm in a similar place. But before we get too carried away, I want to talk about the 3-mana Sarkon.
Okay.
I don't know. Last 2 weeks ago, this is coming up to, this week will be another Monday Night Magic. So last Monday Night Magic, which was 2 weeks ago, I kind of got a wild hair and I threw together Jund Dragons because I had purchased a playset of the 3-mana Sarkon, thinking that maybe it would be really, really fun. The problem is the Jund Dragon deck, I think, is really flawed in standard. And it's just either not enough removal, not enough ways to kill something. Like, it just, it always seemed to be behind. However, every time I played Sarkon, it was amazing. Either the card filtration or the mana acceleration to play a dragon, all that stuff was really good. So this week is Frontier Week at Friday Night Magic, which is probably my favorite non-limited format. I know a lot of people out there are like, Frontier, it's a bad format. Whatever, I don't care. Shut up. I really like it, and I like it because two big reasons. I mean, which we talked about many times on the show before, but if you've never heard me argue this before, I'll give it to you in a nutshell. One, it's relatively inexpensive compared to, like, Modern to have a high-quality deck. And two, it allows cards that you're getting in Standard or Draft to have a longer lifespan of value for you. So if you just draft and play Modern, right, then 80%, 90% of your draft stuff that you get is just junk that you're going to try to trade away to somebody else to get Modern stuff. Like, you just don't get the play value out of your drafts or your singles or whatever, your pre-release value. You just don't get it. So because most cards in Standard don't make it to Modern, but a lot of cards in Standard will make it to, like, a Frontier, because Frontier is still a lot shallower compared to Modern. So those are the two reasons I really like it. And right now, I had done something where I had pulled out a bunch of dragons as, like, place fillers and some of the old con block stuff. And I realized that this week is Frontier Week, and I really just want to play more dragons. Like, I had a lot of fun playing the dragon deck. It just was bad. It needs a little bit extra push to shove it over into, like, ready to go land. And I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that Frontier Dragons, adding the con dragons in, is going to be that thing that kind of whoop pushes it over into the amazing goodness field. So that's my plan. I'm going to build some sort of crazy five-color dragon deck, probably five-color. Maybe not five-color, but probably five-color dragon deck for Friday, because Sarkon was so good.
How far back does cons go?
How far back does cons go, or Frontier?
Or Frontier.
Frontier goes back to, is it M? It's whenever they traded the card backs, the card fronts, the card borders. I want to say it's the core set before Origins.
M15?
Maybe, that sounds right.
Okay. I was going to say, if you're able to get that Sarkon with Theros block.
Yeah, see, the problem is Theros block is just out.
Yeah.
Which makes Remy so mad because Remington's favorite block is Theros block. So he really wants to play with more Theros things, but the only format it's legal is Modern.
Mm-hmm.
And taking Theros cards.
That's not true. It's legal in Legacy.
Or Legacy.
Pauper.
The only format that is currently played at the arena in any sort of manner. So, unless he wants to whip out his Commander Theros block deck.
That'd be sweet.
I think you play like one of every good card in Theros and pray that it's enough and land. So he's really annoyed that he doesn't get to play those particular blocks all that much. So he would like it to include Theros, but unfortunately it does not. But it does give you options to a lot of really great cards, you know. And now with the inclusion of fetch lands, like your mana's great, almost as good as it is in Modern. Your Planeswalker pool, your removal pool, like it's very solid. I like Frontier a lot. I'm hoping that I can get it to catch on. I'm going to sweeten up this week's Friday Night Magic pool with a little extra prizes.
What chance do you have when Wizards of the Coast can't even get it to catch on?
Well, one, I don't think Wizards of the Coast is trying. I think that they believe it's something that's like an Asian market-only format. Also, it's really hard for them to print like whole sets devoted to adding cards to that format when they're just adding more value to, you know, like they're just printing stuff in Standard, like this upcoming Modern Horizons or whatever crap it's called.
Yeah.
Like
Modern exclusives.
You're right. So they can't print Frontier exclusive stuff because you're just adding Standard cards to it. So why would they make a big effort to try to push it?
Must suck to want to play a format that never lived.
It does kind of is difficult, yes. But again, I'm just, in my mind, it's so cost effective to get into for a every other month or once a month type deal at the arena. People can put together a Frontier list. Like, I don't know. I realize that I push this particular format because I find it to be fun and interesting to brew in. Like, it's not as wide open as something like a Modern or a Legacy, but it's not so shut off as a Standard that you can't kind of get out of wheelhouse and surprise people. But anyway, so that's the reason I'm so excited for the 3-mana Sarkon. I'm just trying to figure out how many dragons I can cram into this thing and kind of make it go. So let's talk about probably that we have like 3 points actually in our Let's Just Wing It show notes over here. Magic Funk, London Mulligans, and Magic Fest KC. You're still planning on going to Magic Fest, yes?
Yeah, for the most part.
And you're still planning on basically just going to play side events?
No, I was going to go for the main event.
Okay, and that's Standard, and do you have any feelers on a deck yet?
Nope.
Okay. Isn't it like the end of this month?
I don't know.
Sorry, the end of April?
Is it? I thought it was June.
It might be June.
Yeah, whatever. I'll figure it out.
Might have lots of time. Okay, well then that's a little bit of time. I don't know. I have a lot of people asking me if I want to go. It's just Kansas City so far, man.
Oh yeah, a whole 3 hours.
Oh man, for me that might as well have been 1,000. I don't know, we'll see. That might be a good weekend to go up there and do like some bus hunting also. So I don't know. There's a chance that I'll go to the Magic Fest Kansas City and do some side events. London Mulligans. This is one of the topics that is continuously being talked about at the arena right now. And my gut is, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Have you been playtesting it?
Yeah, whenever we don't get the, or like whenever we show up early on Sunday, or, you know, if we stick around after the events, we just, you know, we're like, you know, let's see how this does.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try doing those tonight.
It is incredibly good with decks that mulligan effectively. It is incredibly good with combo decks. And it is incredibly good with control decks. I don't know about aggro or mid-range.
So this is my thoughts, and you can tell me how much of this you agree with or whatever. But I think it's just good for everybody because, one, it lets you keep more hands with less mulliganing. Right? So if you draw seven and it's bad, throw it back. You draw six and it's a one lander, maybe you have to throw it back. But if you draw that seventh card and it's a land and you just have to discard, or not discard, but put on the bottom or whatever, yeah, it is, like a five drop or whatever the top end of your curve is.
Yeah.
You bury that, but now your hand is keepable. Mm-hmm. Instead, you have that six, you got to throw it away. Now, to battle certain particular format problems, say, what's a combo deck in Modern right now that, like, is a problem? The Phoenix deck kind of thing?
Well, the Phoenix deck, Gristlehorde Brand, or Grishol Brand.
Sure.
Storm.
Okay, let's take Storm, for example, right? Okay. So, is Storm a deck that you just, like, have no answer for, or do you have a couple of answers in your sideboard? Like, I even main deck Trinisphere now.
Yeah, typically people have answers for Storm.
Okay, so now instead of, you know, now you can kind of look to find it, but you can also keep a playable hand in addition to an answer. So yeah, the combo deck is a little bit easier to, like, get their combo pieces going, but that also gives you more of an opportunity to look for a combo disruptor. And I don't think people consider that other side as much, giving the disruption. So, like, Storm usually can get around one or two pieces of disruption with middle-of-the-road ease. But having at least one piece of road bump for them to have to go through is often the difference between staying alive long enough to find another piece of disruption or to put enough pressure on them to just get them. So let's look at how maybe an aggro deck would fare. I don't know how many aggro decks you play in Modern,
but I don't know. I only play Legacy anymore.
I only play Legacy. That's true. So, and let's look at Legacy. Legacy's not as much a format that relies on, like, aggro. I'm not sure what an aggro deck would look like in Legacy that's not really like a combo-esque aggro thing like Goblins.
Yeah, well, Goblins isn't even a combo or aggro deck. In Legacy, it's a control deck.
Is it now?
Yeah, well, because
last time I played Goblins, it was like a lot of, like, Goblin Lackey into make some sweet stuff into, you know, like that. That was kind of the thing.
It is. Like, typically the Goblin deck, you get the Lackey out or the Aether Vial out on turn one. And then turn two, you know, you either remove what they have in front of your creature or, you know, you play another creature and swing with a Lackey and hope it connects. But a lot of decks have started running the Goblin Crater Maker.
Oh, that's a good card.
And the new Lord, the Trash Master.
Yeah, they're playing the Trash Master?
Oh, yeah.
Four?
Unless you hit them with a Lackey, then it only costs zero.
That's fair.
Yeah. And if you have Aether Vial out, then it's still four mana on turn, or it's zero mana on turn four, but it's also a Lord that can get rid of other artifacts.
That's fair.
The reason it's a control deck, though, is because I think it runs 20 lands. Like, eight of them are Mountains, four of them are Cavern of Souls, four of them are Wasteland, and four of them are Rashadan Ports.
Really? The Rashadan Ports in the Goblin deck now, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, I have not. Obviously, I don't keep my thumb on Legacy around here. It's just not a format I can get people into. It's too many dollars for their blood. But
I mean, okay. So here's the issue. Unless you're buying the dual lands and the Force of Wills, it's the same price as Modern, with the exception of like some of the decks that run cards that are on the reserve list.
Well, but if you're playing Legacy, isn't part of the fun of playing Legacy is having the dual lands and the Force of Wills and the is Mana Drain legal? Should be, right?
Is that the counterspell?
Yeah, counterspell, but you get their mana on your next main phase.
I don't know. I don't think so. But like, okay, so one of my decks is Rakdos Phoenix. It's Mana Drain is banned in Legacy.
Okay.
But it's it's just red black arc like Phoenix / Hollow One. And I run 8 fetch lands, 4 mountains, and a swamp. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, and that deck has against Turbo Lands, like the Dark Depths deck. That deck is 100% who goes first. So, you know, they have Dark Depths, which is banned in Modern, and also Crop Rotation and like all these other like expensive lands. But then I have my combo is like turn one, like Faithless Looting or Burning Inquiry. Turn two, play my mountain or play a swamp, you know, whatever. Play my second land. And then Dark Ritual, Buried Alive, any one drop spell. And then I'm swinging in for anywhere between 9 to 12. And there's been a couple games where I do that on turn one. So it's like, why do you need dual lands if the games are going that fast?
Yeah, I think I don't know what your metagame's always like, but there are definitely going to be some matches, I imagine, that dual lands or whatever. So, like, oh my god, Miracles, for example, I know is a deck that needs a lot of duels. A lot of the Taxes decks rely on some duels.
Well, the Miracles list, if it's just blue-white, that's just 4 duels. But then the rest are fetch lands and like a few basics and swamps or wastelands.
Sure.
Death and Taxes, it doesn't really rely on duels as much as it does because the Death and Taxes in Legacy is mono white.
I guess there's just a mono white version here. I don't know. I've just pulled up the list right now on Goldfish, like the top decks.
Yeah.
According to Goldfish. So we have Grixis Control in number one.
Mm-hmm.
Death and Taxes in another two. Miracles is number three. Is it Delver, Mono Red Prison, and Sneak and Show. So out of those top six, I would say Grixis, Shadow, Miracles, Sneak and Show, and Is it Delver probably all run duels.
Yeah, but
This Mono Red Prison also kind of seems like it would run duels, but maybe it doesn't.
Right. Now, what you do is you go in there and look at the deck list.
Mm-hmm.
And then how many of those cards are Modern legal?
Well, like if we took a quick example, look at the Mono Red Prison deck, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Right. Let's see. Look at the Is it Delver? Some. Like this one's running True Name, Brainstorms, Chain Lightnings, Ponders, Preordains.
So the only cards.
Is Daze legal in Modern right now? I don't think it is, right?
No, it's not.
Force of Wills. So, like, is it Delver's heavy on not Modern legal cards? Grixis Control, like I said, the top deck. It's got Snaps. It's got Angler. But then it's got a bunch of, you know, the same kind of things. Force of Wills, Hymn to Turox, Diabolic Edicts, Ponders, Brainstorms, etc. Bunch of fetch lands, a bunch of tap lands, or not tap lands.
Yeah. Well, and that's where the majority of the money is. It's
there's a lot. I would agree. A lot of the cost of a legacy deck has got to be the land base, the mana base, which is why you're always told by every long term Magic player, but get the mana, sit on the mana.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that may not be the exact phrase that they use, but they always talk about how you need to have your get your lands when they're printed while they're cheap and just never let them go until you're ready.
Yeah, I just picked up 4 Scalding Tarns for 70 each, and then like the next week they spiked to 100.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, man lands are real good. Real good.
Man lands are not good.
Scalding Tarn's a man land, right?
That's a fetch land.
What's the unblockable black blue land? Is that
Creeping Tar Pit?
Creeping Tar Pit. Ah, my bad. Never mind. Sorry. That's where my brain immediately went to. But yeah, okay. Oh no, I have all my fetch lands. I'm not letting them go. I think all of them, but so I'm missing one. I'm missing 3 of something, but I don't remember what it is. It's a color pair, and I don't play very much. I don't know. Anyway, I'm not sure exactly how we got from wherever we started to here.
Because you said that you can't get people into Legacy because it costs too much money, and then I said most of the money is in Force of Will and Dual Lands.
That's true.
So tell people not to play those decks, and then boom, you got a Legacy deck.
Yeah, I can't convince these people to do anything.
But you have Terrence who has a burn deck, right?
I don't know. I can't get Terrence to do anything either. So
he has a Modern burn deck, and the difference between Modern and Legacy for burn is like 8 cards, and that's like Chain Lightning, Price of Progress, I guess it's more than 8, and sometimes Fire Blast.
Always Fire Blast.
Some people don't.
Always Fire Blast.
Oh, you don't have to tell me, man.
Gee, me Christmas. I gotta go down and beat some people.
Well, you gotta travel to them first.
Always. I know. When I get my bus and I'm always home, it'll be a different story. I'll go places. That's what I tell people.
Sounds like an excuse.
I want to be a turtle like my friend Travis. I want to have my home with me everywhere I go.
Yeah. Luckily, my home is able to fit inside of a backpack, so I'm good.
Yeah, if I was a single dude, it'd be a different story, but I'm not.
You could be.
No, it doesn't seem like worth the trade-off to me. It doesn't seem like worth it. Not enough value. Having the wife and the dogs and the kid is a worthwhile trade off, I think. Anyway, let's get to the root of my problem right now, the Magic funk.
Oh so, yeah, I forgot that you were in one of those.
I am. I have been for a little while. I said I haven't really played Arena, which is a place I really enjoy playing. I like the fact that I can just do a quick draft and not stress out over it and just like wham, bam. But I've been having real issues, I feel like, with my either I do a poor job shuffling or I'm playing decks that are too easy to have mana issues one way or the other, or something. It feels like there's always something out of my control lately going on with Magic to the point where I just not that excited for Magic anymore. So like this, for the last couple of weeks, I basically show up at the shop. I promote, I do everything like I always have, you know, I'm pretty excited in the moment, at least from, for people looking in, and, or at least I try to be, and I'm always trying to like talk up and do the next tournament, the next thing. Maybe it has something to also do with the fact that I go to every one of these events at the arena, even if it's me and one other person, or if it's me and 20 people. Like, I'm the constant go and run the event guy. So even if the event instead, you know, normally in if event would not have a bunch of people there, we would just call off the event and go home.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not something that we do anymore at the arena. We just, you know, modify the event to where whoever the number of people that do come still get to have fun. Right. So like Monday Night Magic, the last couple of times has been me and one other person playtesting like really hardcore for 2 hours. You know, try to make that fun, try to bring fun decks, try to explore the formats, whatever formats that happen to be. But it's not always the most fun to sit there and play Magic with one person for 2 hours. And that's all you do. Like the idea of a Monday Night Magic to me is to play with a bunch of different people, have fun, maybe throw together like some random things. You know, like maybe like, all right, guys, let's do two-headed giant or let's rotate around or whatever, just to, you know, mix it up and have fun, like a casual thing. But when your casual thing is, all right, let's play test standard for a bunch of hours straight, it's like, not really what I want to do. And then, like I said, I've been struggling a lot with like my draws and tournaments and stuff like that. It feels like even this last week that I did manage to win a Friday Night Magic, I felt like my deck was bad. And I felt like there's a lot of situations where it's like, all right, well, I kept a good keep. I have 3 lands on my opening hand. I'm going to draw like 6 cards or look at a bunch of cards. And if I find my 4th land in the first 5 turns, 6 turns, I'm in really good shape. And it's just like, oh, well, there's no lands here. I'll just keep going. Luckily, in those particular situations, my opponent also struggled in lands. So I was still able to eventually get there after going through like a dozen cards, but it's just like, man, I don't understand what's going on. If it's me, if it's my shuffling, is it my sleeves? And all those things just kind of weigh down on me when it's like, go have fun playing Magic. And it's like, am I going to though? I don't know. I'm not really sure what to do. And I know that that's something I've come to you with a lot. And I always, sometimes I walk away and I feel like I'm in a better place after that. But sometimes just like, man, I don't know what to do at all.
So have you put up polls?
Have I put up polls for what?
Like, instead of telling people, hey, this is what we're doing Monday, or this is what we're doing Friday, this is what we're doing Saturday, you just throw it up there and be like, besides Sunday, which day of the week would you like something to fire? And then set up like, and what would you want there to be?
So we're trying to be a lot more responsive to the community lately. So a little story I was going to tell you earlier, but I kind of left sitting on the table, was with the new upcoming Modern Horizons.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I was asked to look into having a pre-release for it. So we're at the Friday Night Magic. There's the 30 people there. And I go, okay, guys, I'm not committing, making you commit to any day, time, anything right now. But we have to schedule pre-releases if we want to have them.
Yep.
So if you're interested, what day and what time you think you'd be the most interested in having a pre-release, you know, like, and I told them I had the usual time frames, a midnight on Saturday or a midnight on Friday, one sometime Saturday earlier in the afternoon, one later in the evening, and one sometime on Sunday. Right? Which of those time slots are you interested in? And it was like pulling teeth to get people to even give me a rough idea of when they were even remotely interested in coming to do the pre-release on it. So like, it's really tough because you're trying to be open and try to adjust things. So we started doing Saturday tournaments real regularly again with the loss of the PPTQs. So I put it up for votes. Like, all right, what formats do you guys want to do? Like, when we're going to put these on the calendar 1 month in advance, what format do you want to do? Mm-hmm. And I'll get like two people that give me feedback like, oh, well, let's do standard. Oh, let's do modern. And then half the time those people will show up or the other half of the time, obviously they won't. And it's very aggravating when the people that you do get feedback from don't follow through or don't come with the commitment to do the thing. So like the first big one of these back that we started doing, we did standard and we just kind of picked it with like two people there. And we're like, all right, guys, you guys interested in just doing standard? And they're like, yeah, let's do standard. Awesome, blah, blah, blah. And those two people did show up. And we had a regular size tournament fill out and fire. Then we got a bunch of the people who were like, rah, 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 let's do modern. Like, okay, modern usually is a much larger turnout event for us than standard. You know, we have a pretty strong modern community. We have a bunch of people. They always come to every Friday Night Magic. You know, it would be a good one. Let's do it. Bam. Five people showed up. And I'm just like, what the F? Like, we easily fired the standard. Like, no problem. And now we can't fire this modern one. Like, this is crazy. And that's what people wanted. That's what the voting was. And it just always seems like this. Like, we tried to do a legacy a while back. People were like, rah, 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 legacy. Bam, no one shows up. People were rah, 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 commander. Bam, no one shows up. It's just, I can't. I don't know. I realize a lot of it's me, and I'm focusing on the negatives and not the positive stuff, like the fact that we had 30 people show up for Friday Night Magic wanting to play Magic, and we're like excited to play Magic. But at the same time, it's like, all right, well, let's do this on Saturday. Crickets. Let's do it on Sunday. Crickets. Let's do it on Monday Night Magic. Crickets. And it's like, okay, well, you guys said you wanted to do a Saturday tournament. You guys told me you want to do something on Sunday. You guys told me you like this Friday or this Monday Night Magic thing. Like, I'm trying to support the formats for you guys in the times that you guys tell me you want to play, but nobody's coming. It's really aggravating.
Like, at the very least, say something.
Yeah, like, the problem is, again, if I don't go, you never know who, you know, may not let me know going on through Facebook or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, sometimes somebody will just walk in and we'll sit down and play Magic for an hour, which is fine. I love teaching people to play. I love playing with people. I usually carry around one of most formats, at least, if not two of most formats. I don't carry around a Legacy deck right now. It's sitting behind me, pieced out, ready to be sold. But I could sleeve it back up and carry around Legacy if people wanted me to.
What deck?
Is it Delver is basically behind me.
Boring.
It's what I had.
Yep.
It's what I had, so I put it together. So to me, it's just a matter of, like, I feel like I'm putting myself out, I'm doing all the stuff, but I'm not getting it back. And usually, to me, what that tells me is take a break. Like, that's where I was. I kind of felt like I was at when I was at the end of Lorwyn block or Shadowmoor block. I'm like, yeah, like I'm noticing all these negative things about the game. I'm focusing on just the negatives. I'm having a hard time focusing on the positives. I'm going to take a break for a little while. And I took like 2 years off, 3 years off, whatever it was, came back for the tail end of Return to Ravnica. And I've been playing again ever since. And it's just like, now I've kind of built up my bullshit meter and now I need to cleanse it again. But I don't want to give up Magic right now because A, it's part of my job, which I enjoy. B, I enjoy the community management part, but it feels like there's a lot of, especially right now, this time of year, feels like a lot of herding cats, which is not always easy. And the other big thing is Magic has always been something I've done with Remy. Like, Remy and I would go to Friday Magic. Remy and I would go to Monday Magic. Remy and I would put together decks or play tests or whatever. But now Remy's at college full time. So it's just like going to the gym. Like, I would go to the gym with Remy. He was my workout buddy. Now that he's at college full time, don't go to the gym like I should. And I just don't have that replacement yet for the other person that I'm kind of playing the game with for about. So I'll take any advice you got. Like,
I already gave you the only piece that I know, and it's like, you know, just poll people, but also just group chats, because I'm involved in one of the group chats in South Dakota, and it's just nonstop talking about Magic stuff and, you know, sometimes other BS, but it's mostly Magic and what are we doing, when are we doing it. You know, it's the same core group. So if there's like a core group that definitely shows up all the time, then start a group chat with them.
You think a group chat is better at that kind of stuff than like the Facebook message boards or the Facebook groups?
Yes. And the only reason I say yes is because I have my phone, I have it set up on my phone that the only time I get a notification on Facebook is if someone mentions me in a comment or if they respond to one of my comments. I don't have any likes. I don't have any shares or any any of the groups that I'm following on Facebook. None of them give me notifications. So with Messenger, it's just going to happen like nonstop unless you, well, not nonstop, but you're going to get that notification every time that someone says something unless you turn it off.
So we have a couple of different Facebook groups that run that I monitor / partake in on part of the arena and the local area, Magic players, stuff like that. And they're relatively busy. Like, there's a lot of meme sharing that gets posted in these things. Not a lot of deck discussion. Not a lot of like event discussion. Usually I'm the one that's like pumping events or trying to share companies. Although we do have people now that also like are looking for events that they're interested in traveling to. And that kind of discussion happens, which I'm pretty grateful for. But I am also in a Pokemon Go group here for Salina. And it is so crazy that I just mute it. It's muted probably 90% of the time. And then the 1 hour or 2 hours a week that I go actively play Pokemon Go, I turn it on. And then it feels like all this miscellaneous drama that I ignore all week long comes pounding in on me for the one couple hours a week. And then I turn it back off because it's constantly chirp, 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 chirp. And why I'd like that, I don't know. I'll see. I'll put it out there. See if the community is interested in a group chat. See if they're excited for something like that. But
don't even see if they're interested. Just force them to be in it.
Just force them. Maybe.
Yeah. And if they leave, just add them back and be like,
"You're not allowed to go." I don't know. That to me, that's where. This is where I kind of want to have a linchpin person. Like, you can't force yourself to be the linchpin for people. You can try. You can be there for them and you can do all the things. But there are some people who are just the natural linchpins. Like you, I feel, even though you don't like people, are more of a linchpin-y type personality. People want to know what you're doing. People want to know what's going on with the things that you're doing.
Well, that's because I'm great and everyone loves me, even if they don't know it.
Right. Or like you at all. But
yeah,
Yeah.
Like, they can hate me, but they still want to be around me, which is weird.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's one of those things where if I maybe I should take advantage of another one of those through the grapevine kind of people.
Another charismatic person?
No, because I'm very charismatic. It's just... Mm. I need, I don't know. You're just better, like, you live, breathe, and sleep this stuff, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I don't do that anymore. And I haven't done that for a long time because I'm not as excited about it as I was 2 years ago, for example, where I did eat, breathe, sleep this stuff, which is part of the reason why we record a podcast and then I completely forget to post it online because I'm not eat, breathing, and sleeping it all the time like I was 2 years ago when we started the podcast or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I need to make a note to make sure that I don't forget to put the podcast out this time. But also at the same time, I need to like figure out a way to become excited again about it. I don't know if maybe this next set will help. Spoiler season's almost right around the corner. Like, I feel like I need something to like help fire me up, jazz me up, get me going about
that. Yeah.
And I like Standard. I like where Standard's at. I like the brewing of it. I think there's a lot of really fun and interesting decks out there. I'm making angel tokens off of my war boss. Like, I can't imagine a better time right now in Magic.
Okay. So what if you have the divine intervention? Is that the angel thing making
yeah.
thing?
Yeah.
All right. So you have those, right? And then the only way that you can make tokens is with captive audience.
Captive audience.
All right, now make a Mardu control deck out of that.
Captive. I don't even know what that card is. I thought you literally meant captive audience. Like, I'm supposed to handcuff people to chairs. Like, no. Sir, play Magic, you're captive.
No. That's the card.
All right, let me see. I'm going to search this up. Captive audience, MTG. The hell is this card, Travis? I don't know if I've seen this card before. Captive audience enters the battlefield under the control of an opponent of your choice. Beginning of your upkeep, you choose one that hasn't been chosen. Your life total comes 4. Discard your hand. Each opponent creates 5/2/2 black zombie token creatures. So that works exactly one time.
Yeah. But even if you don't have the angel thing, you're still making 10 power against your opponent's will.
That's
and they true. can't counter it, or their life becomes 4, or they discard their entire hand.
Why, like, can't it be countered? Like, it can be countered coming down.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they have to spend a removal spell on it. And if you're playing a control list, then most likely their hand's already empty.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you want to have
I'll try to build a captive audience deck, but I'm not playing with the white angel thing in it.
That's so boring.
I know.
You got to do both.
It might be white. I don't know. I think the angel card is best suited for like fast token stuff.
More like boring.
Boring.
Yeah.
I'll build a captive audience deck though.
Well, I mean, if you're going to
have captive audiences, though,
if you're going to do that, you might as well just go look online because they already have the Grixis ones. They already have just red black one. I think there's even a Jund captive audience deck.
I can make it. Oh, Jund one? That sounds kind of hot, actually. Like, I could make it be Mardu. I just don't think that enchantment, like, as another 5 mana card. Is it such a great idea?
Okay, but that's the point. Oh. It's not meant to be a good idea. It's meant to be a what?
I'm not like you. I don't make bad ideas. I don't enjoy that. That's not the thing I get my gigglies on.
Maybe you should start enjoying it, and then you can get back into the positive part of Magic.
Of course, I should just I'll just flip the switch to enjoy it. Like, boop. I'll just put a finger in my bum and find my reset switch and just boop.
See, there you go.
Of course. I should have known better.
Yeah, well, not everybody's as cool as me, so.
That's true. Speaking of not being as cool as you, it's something we haven't actually done in a really long time. Let's do it now while I'm thinking about it. Is let's check the Two Trolls and a Brew email.
You have 700 emails.
Oh, probably, but probably most of them are like
just Nathan talking like a jerk.
So Dallas says your number was switched off. I tried calling. I don't know who you are, Dallas, but thank you very much for sending that email. And then we have a bunch of conspiracy links, my friend.
Like to the set or to like
No, this is a viewer slash listener who sent me a bunch of literally videos and or things about conspiracy theories.
Nice.
So there you go. That's what we have in our in the recent letters. I don't see anything even remotely close to magic related.
You know what my favorite conspiracy is?
What is your favorite conspiracy?
Is that the moon is a spaceship.
Oh, I like that. That's a nice one.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, right? Technically.
Well, technically that means Earth is a spaceship.
Right. Technically.
Yeah. So, no, it was funny. I had a coworker one time who was just like going off about how the moon is a spaceship and blah, 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 blah. And she was just ranting. And at the time I knew how to irritate her was by just saying really stupid random things. So I was like, as soon as she was done, I was like, that's absolutely ridiculous. She's like, what? No, it could be a real thing. I was like, no, it can't, because the moon doesn't exist.
The moon is cheese. We shot a bunch of cows up there to make cheese years ago.
And she was like, what do you mean the moon doesn't exist? I was like, I saw it in a documentary. Piccolo blew up the moon.
That's right.
And then she got really mad and left.
So speaking of Dragon Ball Z really fast, Dragon Ball Universe real fast, in the stream a couple of days ago, I mentioned that I had not been very good about keeping up in the Dragon Ball Z universe. So one of the viewers sent me a short 45-minute video on the history of the Dragon Ball Z universe so I can get up to date and caught up on it.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure you already know this, but did you know that the moon was blown up twice in the Dragon Ball Z universe?
Yep. Once in just Dragon Ball and then once in Dragon Ball Z.
Yep.
And the one time was to stop Goku and the other one was to stop Gohan.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
I know.
I was just like, wow. So I sat there and I watched that 45-minute video of the recapping.
It's such a ridiculous show.
And I'm just like, I sat there and I watched the whole thing. And lots of it, like, I did watch, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, there's this huge chunk, and I'm like, yes, I know this history. But then there was, like, these huge chunks that I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
And so they're like, now that you know what's going on, are you excited to watch Dragon Balls? I'm just like, no, I'm good. I'll just watch this another recap in, like, 5 years about where it is now.
Dragon Ball Super.
Yeah, it was in there, part of that. Like, it's just like, I'll just wait until whatever this history happens and I'll watch it again.
Yep.
I don't know. It was pretty good. All right, let's see. What else do we have as final thoughts? Travis, are you watching anything on the televisions lately? Like, what, do you have a show that you're into right now?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I've not actually watched any of that. Would you suggest that to anybody?
Yes.
Okay.
I would suggest it to literally anybody, even if I didn't know them. But hey, you watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine? You should. And then just keep walking.
So I've caught bits and pieces of it, I guess, and it looks pretty funny. But then it also, I've seen other bits of it that look like incredibly dumb.
Yeah, that's why I like it.
I know. There's a lot of that kind of comedy, like, this is so dumb, it's funny kind of mm-hmm. moments. Not always a big fan of those, but...
That's my favorite kind of
humor. Our friend Nathan has turned me on to Letterkenny, which if you go to Hulu and you watch Letterkenny, Brooklyn 99, they're like best buds, I think. So I think the humor is kind of similar. So I've been doing a lot of that, like trying to spam that right now. And there's a lot of stuff that just falls completely flat on its face, but a lot of stuff that's actually quite quality entertainment. So, I don't know. I figure we'd wrap the show up with some show recommendations.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine and
Letterkenny.
And I guess for the 28 people left on Earth that haven't watched it, Game of Thrones is going to be on its final season.
Thank God.
And same with Supernatural.
That doesn't start until this fall, and I haven't even watched this season so far. Like I gave up Supernatural. I'll probably watch it all like in a big chunk.
Yeah.
But the wife's still watching it like basically week to week or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these shows are just amazing. So I'll probably take the Troll Hottie from the Letterkenny. That show is made in Canada, and I'll tell you, there's something in the water up there in Canada.
Yeah, too bad it's frozen.
That's true. All right, don't forget, you can send us an email, the number 2trollsbrew@gmail.com, like nobody else does, unless, of course, you tried to call and my number is disconnected.
Okay, so here's the weird part. How did they, even if they did call you and your phone number was disconnected, which it's not, how does someone go about typing in 2trollsandabrew@gmail.com and then realizing, hey, wait, that's not who I meant to send an email to?
I'm sure it's just somebody. It could have been anybody. I don't know. It could have been anybody. Probably just some weird, crazy spam person. But I just thought that was really great, as that was the very first email that was up there. It was like, hey, I tried to call. Your number is disconnected. Anyway, check out the show, samusgold.com. Of course, you can find us on iTunes, etc., etc. MTG Cast, all the places. Check out the Twitch, twitch.tv/samusgrobo. And follow at twitter.com/samusgrobo. Did I hit the go button? When I did not. Never mind. I had a whole message printed up for when we went live, and then I didn't hit the post button. That's mad skills.
Well, you know what they say. Oh well.
Oh well. Oh well. Also, we have a Patreon up and running. Patreon.com/samist. Go throw a buck that way. That'd be awesome if you can. If you enjoyed the show.
I'll start up a Patreon and you give me the money out of spite.
Oh, you can do that too. Patreon.gofyourself.com.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome to the one F-bomb in the show.
Troll on everybody.
Troll on everybody.